Lord, we want to lift up, Lord, the burdens of our brothers and sisters, Lord, of this church, and we want to lift up those that are going to come tomorrow to food ministry, and we just pray that you would go before all the servants, Lord, that you would prepare them, and that as they come tomorrow to serve, that they would see everyone that comes, that they need you, Lord, that they would have a heart of compassion, that they would have a heart to serve you and to just want to pour out love to you, Lord, that there would be no partiality, that there would be no lack of kindness or gentleness, but that they would just show your love. And I pray on the other end, Lord, people that come, whether they are regulars here visiting our church or and food ministry, or they're actually a part of the body, if they even know you, Lord, but I pray that you would just pour out your spirit on each one, that you would reveal what's in their heart, Lord, that they would want to have a relationship with you and that they would want to grow closer to you. And I pray that you would just use Mike tomorrow as he teaches, Lord, that you would be preparing his heart, that you would just help him to abandon himself and anything that he has in that study, Lord, that it would all be for your glory and everything that comes out of his mouth would just be from you. And we just lift up all the people that aren't here tonight. Lord, you know where they're at, and I pray that you just comfort them. I pray for the hurting. I pray for the lost. I pray for just unity in this church. Lord, we want to lift up all of our leaders, Lord, that you would just be pouring out your spirit on them, Lord, and that in turn they would be listening to you, Lord, that they would be so sensitive to hear your voice and so sensitive to be obedient to your voice. And Lord, we want to lift up this study tonight to you, Lord. I ask that you would just empty me of anything that is in me that is not fitting, Lord, and that you would just fill me afresh with you, Lord. Fill me overflowing with your living water, that out of my mouth would just be what you have for these ladies tonight, and that you would teach me and that you would teach them, and that I would just be a vessel for you. Please just fill each lady here, Lord, that she would know how much the depths of your love is. As we sing these worship songs, or as we sing them, Lord, that we see what a mighty God you are, and we see who we are in you, that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. We are free. We are, our chains are broken, Lord. We get to worship you because of grace. We get to have a relationship with you because of grace. And I just pray that you would speak to us tonight through your word, through James chapter 3. We look forward to hearing from you, Lord. Be here in this place with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So ladies, if you would follow along in chapter 3, we've been looking at James for quite some time because we've had a few breaks here and there. But if we look at the history a little bit, James is written by the half-brother of Jesus, and his nickname was James the Just because he was a just man. He realized who Jesus was after Jesus' death and resurrection. He recognized that his own half-brother was the Messiah and chose to follow him. And he wrote this book to the Jewish believers that were scattered abroad, but he was teaching them how to live a Christian life, the do's, the don'ts. And so this is like a personal letter to each of us, too. We can understand it. We can look at it, and it's an instruction booklet on life. And it's one of my favorite books because it's very strong, it's very powerful, very meaty, but it's a short book that you can get through and it's not overwhelming. It's so good. And every time I study it, it always has new convictions in there. And that's just like the rest of God's word is, it's alive. And so it's always showing us new things. It never gets old. And so, in chapter 1, we saw the purpose of trials, that it's not all in vain, but he's working and producing patience in us and character, character to be like Christ, and we should be persevering, and there's a purpose in it. And then he told us about wisdom, where it truly comes from, and it's from above, true wisdom, but we need to ask with faith, not to be a double-minded man or woman to trust the Lord and know that we're following him. And so when we ask, we need to really believe that he can give it to us and then follow what he says. And so those were the first chapter. Chapter 2 talked about hypocrisy, when we're hypocrites, when we show partiality, because every single person needs to know Jesus, every single one. And so we need to have eyes. When we see people, we need to have the eyes to see them as Jesus sees them and not have partiality. And I love that verse when he said, mercy triumphs over judgment. That just sums it up right there. It's his mercy for us. We should have that same mercy for others. And so we looked at faith and works. They go hand in hand. If you say you have faith but you don't have works, then where's the proof? Where is it? We need fruit from our faith. And so tonight we're going to look at chapter 3. And this is a very intense chapter. We're only getting through the first 12 verses. It's a short amount, but very meaty. A lot in there because it's all personal. It all relates to us. And so I'm sure as you studied this past couple weeks, because we didn't meet last week, you would have seen that it was convicting, very convicting to each of us. So let's read chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, not let many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have become made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So James is pretty, this is very serious here. Obviously these people were struggling with it, and if we're honest, we have the same struggle, no matter what. I think as long as we live, as long as we have breath this side of heaven, we're going to struggle with this. This is a daily challenge. And so in verse 1, James is talking about, you know, he says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And I know Tanner just talked about this on Wednesday during service. He's in Ezekiel right now. But how much of responsibility for teachers? And I know it scares me to think of teaching God's word. I love his word. I've taught it to my children. I've taught it to children here at children's ministry. But it's a scary thing because with it comes much responsibility. And we will receive a stricter judgment because we have such an influence to others and because we have an ability to teach the wrong thing. And so, but it shouldn't scare us to the point that we don't do it. Because if God's called us, we need to do it. And we need to walk in his will. But it is a scary truth. It's a beautiful, I call it a very beautiful, scary thing. Because it's beautiful, but then it's also scary. And with that, I know it keeps me constantly praying that I don't misrepresent him. Matthew 5:19, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least of these in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful thing to be able to teach and or to be a leader or for pastors, but it's a strict judgment. If we lead people astray, we're leading their souls another way. And this is it's a heavy, heavy weight. And so I can see James's powerful truth here. He just is warning and talking about it. And I just want to say that it's maybe some of you are feeling that call. Don't be afraid. I know I have fear, but I also think it's a beautiful thing because if God calls you, he equips you. But it's a constant back and forth of receiving from the Lord and trusting him, and then receiving and trusting him and walking in obedience. But to not get away from that, and we see false prophets, and we see all these things going on in our world, but if we stay close to Jesus, don't fear. Just, you know, we can do it with him. We need to do it with him. And never think we can do it in our own strength. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey those who rule over you or to lead you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." And I know that I wasn't always in a leadership position, and there were times that I didn't always like what the leaders were doing, but now being in a leadership position, and when I get opposition from people, and I just think, gosh, if you knew how much I really care and what I'm doing, you wouldn't be so mean. You know, and not always, not everybody's like that, but there's times when it's so harsh and it can come across so rough. But to look at it and go, you know what, it's a hard thing to look out for other people's souls. And we, those of us that have husbands, we know that they're called to lead us. And so when we're kinder, when we have an understanding that there's a responsibility with that. And so maybe, you know, so often throughout the Bible, the Lord talks about not nagging. And I know it could be a two-way street because men can nag women too. But really to consider that our men are called to also look out for our souls. And they're to help lead us in that sense. And so whatever leadership position you're in or under, we're always under somebody. And there's always somebody over us. And we're over people. But to just consider that of having a more gentle and kindness in the people that are ruling over you or leading you. You know, just going easy and not stirring up strife and causing disruption, because it's hard. And I think most, I know here, I see it with leaders, is they do have a concern. They are concerned for our souls. They're not in a position of trying to roll with an iron fist, because we see that. We see that in a lot of political areas where people are looking for prestige and they want attention and they want to be maybe ruler. But being a leader with God's word and a teacher, I think it's a different thing. When you have the Lord, you really want to help people along. And that's my heart and that's my desire. And so pray for your leaders. Pray for me too, because it is a scary thing at times. And but I only want to do it as long as the Lord calls me to do it. So, and if you do have a desire to teach, don't let that verse scare you to where you're like, I'm not doing it, because he's good. And if he's calling you to do it, he's going to gift you in it too and show you. Okay, so verse 2. "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." You know, I brought this. You guys know I have horses. And I brought this kind of as like a visual, because I'm a visual learner, but horses are massive. And if you've never seen a horse, I think it's rare if no one's ever seen a horse. But this is my horse's bridle, and this is the bit. And it goes in the mouth, and this goes behind it under the chin. And this is not very big. This bit sits on the horse's tongue. And the horse can be, one of our horses is about 1,000 pounds, another's about 1,200 pounds. But they can be massive animals. They are. They're huge. But yet you stick this in their mouth and you really, it's uncomfortable. And so they want to obey you. And it's not a torture. Some horses don't need it. That's the other thing is, one of our horses, has a hackmore, which is not a bit. And she's more obedient that way. But the point of that is, even a wild horse that weighs that much can be tamed. Yet our tongue is so little, and we're human beings, which were created in God's image, but our sin nature and our tongue is bad. And so it can be used for life, to give life, as it says. I'll get to that verse. But with our words out of our mouth can precede death or life. And so what powerful ability with our tongue, yet it can't even be tamed, but we can tame wild animals. And we see that. I mean, back when this was written, they didn't have TV shows, but we watch these massive animals being tamed, and elephants, and how ability for them to be submissive and obedient, yet we can't even do that with our tongue. But there's hope, because we can have self-control with the Holy Spirit. And so we can't lose hope in that. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is one of those things. We need it. We lack it. And we see little kiddos, they don't have it most of the time, right? Because they throw temper tantrums. But that's the same for us, is being able to bridle your tongue is having a self-control. And we don't always feel like we have that. And we need desperately the Holy Spirit to do that, to be able to walk into a position or a situation, a conversation, whether we're attacked or we see stuff going on, but to be able to bite our tongue or to bridle our tongue. So it's being filled up with God's word. It's being filled up with, so filled with the living water that it overflows out of our mouth. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. You know, with our tongue, there's lies. We can lie. And no one would know. And it just, you know how sometimes stuff just slips out of your mouth and you go, why did I even say that? You know, there's psychology would say it's a Freudian slip. No, it's in your heart, and it's a sinful nature, and we need the Lord. And I love how James refers to that too, is most of us that lived up here for a long time, we've had forest fires, and we know it's one spark and it can burn our mountain down. It can burn homes. It wrecks havoc. And so when we think about if we ingest that a little bit daily, to think about, okay, if I say this, I can create this painful fire that I can't take back, then it can help us to maybe bridle that tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. And so we see, again, it's just, he's really trying to emphasize this, the tongue is so strong, it's so powerful, that we have to try to control that. And I know we've all said stuff and done stuff, and then later we feel so bad about it, and you can't take it back. And I know that for myself, I've had physical abuse, and then I've had verbal abuse, and I would say the physical was easier to heal from than the verbal. And that saying that's so, it's not true, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, is a lie. Because words sink in and they start telling us who we are, or vice versa. If we're doing that to someone, we are labeling them. We're putting them in a position. We're making them that, their identity, or so painful. But the bruises from an injury can heal, or the wounds. The wounds dissipate, but I know I can remember words, painful words from a long time ago, because our brains, we have amazing memories. We can. And usually not for good things like that, because you wish you could forget. And so really being considerate about what we're saying, because we can't take those things back. And here, if we're living for Christ, we should be walking in that. I mean, over and over, James, it just goes from one to the next, but it all goes together. It's all in one. You know, faith without works is dead. Our actions speak louder than words sometimes, but those words, if we act, if we're here at church and we're looking the part, but then we're over here blasting people and talking rubbish, or I know at times we've, you know, cuss word has flown out, you know, we have to be careful about that, because that doesn't show Christ, and we're supposed to be like Christ. Over and over throughout Proverbs, there are a ton of proverbs about the tongue and words. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. I mean, you think about when maybe you're having a bad day and you just need an encouraging word, but someone speaks something not so kind, it just really can crush you. Or opposite, how you can be in a bad spot, but someone gives you a word of encouragement and just it lifts your soul. Proverbs 10:21, the New Living Translation says, "The words of the godly encourage many." I know I am so blessed when I am able to encourage someone else. And you're not even thinking about it. You're not planning out the day of I'm going to tell this person this and this. Maybe you write out cards. But just being willing to be yieldable by the Lord. And that's really where our hope is and our encouragement is. The Lord can do this work in us. So maybe someone's struggling with that, with having a foul words or maybe not bad words necessarily, but just unkindness or negativity. God can change it. This one always gets me because I'm a talker. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:19. God's spoken to me through that in different times where you're sitting around and you're just talking. And the next thing you know, you're like, I said too much. I shouldn't have shared that information. I shouldn't have gone that far. And then you get racked with it in your brain for a while. But God, how often have we been in conversations and God's nudging us? Don't say it. Don't say it. And then we say it and then we can't take it back. And we wish we had. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Proverbs 10:20. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Proverbs 25:11. I love that. I love when just a word is spoken or a verse at the right time. God, he's so good. And his word is so good. And if we could just daily choose to help me, Lord, help me not to go there. Help me not to say things. Or if we're fighting with our spouse and we oftentimes I'll ask the Lord, help me to close my mouth and open it when I need to, because we can just respond. But if we thought a little bit longer before we spoke. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. People are made in his image, yet we can say, we can bless God, we can be praising him, and then we're on the freeway and someone cuts us off. We have to be so careful because, you know, I'm sure we've all... That's the thing is everybody, this isn't one man's problem. This is every person's problem. And maybe not right now. You're not really struggling with that. I remember, years ago having different issues and then not really struggling with this. I was just a little bit more quieter but really to be on guard every single day. Lord, guard my mouth, guard my heart, guard what's coming in, because what comes in is going to come out. And we do that. We tell our children that, but then, We let a little bit more in. So it really comes to admitting it and recognizing that it's in God's word. It's saying no man can tame it. So though we're not going to overcome this unless we literally lost our tongue, maybe, but then we'd have a way to sin with our hands, I'm sure, right? Or we'd write it. So being careful, filling our mind and our heart with God's word, but also keeping a short list of wrongs with the Lord, keeping it in account. Lord, I've sinned today. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm hurt and I've been hurt over and over, maybe by other people's words, I realize what's in my heart then, because how I respond or how I react. And the Lord just shows me what's in my own heart that I didn't even realize, that I was holding on to anger or bitterness or pain or whatnot, but that's a sin if I don't deal with it. If I don't come to him and I don't ask him to help me forgive those people. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? So it's hard for us as Christians, if we're proclaiming Christ, but then we are, you know, whether it's our actions or our words, if they're not lining up with who we claim to be, who we follow, who we call ourselves Christians, then there's a problem. So it's really learning to be gracious in our speech with others and being kind, because not only we have to first recognize we have this problem, but then realize that everyone has this problem. So we need to be gracious, because things are going to fly at us too out of people's mouths that aren't kind and aren't gentle, but to be willing to be gracious and forgiving of them as well. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So if there's stuff going on, ladies, if there's things in your heart that are maybe coming out, or are words that are coming out that you didn't realize were in there, and you think, okay, how is a spring, if I'm supposed to have the living water coming out, but I have sewage coming out, then I need more of Jesus to overflow and get that rubbish out. Because I know sometimes we feel that condemnation of, oh my gosh, I just keep screwing up. But there is no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8:1 tells us that. For all, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. But we've been forgiven. We need to walk in that and walk in that with others and not hold that to ourselves of feeling like it's never going to, we're never going to be clean again, because the Lord will clean us. But when stuff comes out, we know it's in our heart, because it says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in Matthew 12, 34 and Luke 6, 45. So when things are flying out and we're not sure where those things are coming from, we need to do definitely a heart check and figure out, okay, Lord, show me what's in my heart. Because it even says that we don't even know our own heart. We don't even know the condition of our heart. The Lord is the only one that knows. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting." So Lord, come in and search me. Search my heart. Help me. If there's things going on, there's anxieties that I'm having, if I'm all this fear is coming out, or these bad things, then help me, Lord, cleanse me. And then lead me in the way of everlasting. There's hope there. I can get through that hurdle. I can be cleansed, and then I can go in the way everlasting. Proverbs 4, 23 and 24, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." So we all go through it. We all have junk. We all have things that we're hurt by, or things that we've done. But don't walk with your head down. Instead, have grace for yourself, and definitely seek repent, but also talk to other people. If you're having an issue with them and there's stuff coming out, then try to. And I know that sometimes forgiveness is between you and the Lord for the person, because you can't go to them. There are times when you just can't go to that person. But God's desire is that we do walk free of that guilt and free of that shame, and walk in repentance and walk clean. So what will come out of your mouth will show where you've been sitting. If you've been sitting with Jesus, or you've been sitting in the mud. And so I just want to encourage you, ladies. I know this chapter was short, but there's so much. If we read, constantly reading through the word, but glean through Proverbs 10. There was an abundance more verses in there about mouth and words. But just to be careful what we're putting in. Music, shows. I saw this quote today that if you were to hang out with onions, you'd start to smell like one. And I thought that's such a cute, it was told to a child, but I thought that's so good, because if we're sitting constantly with people that are constantly negative, or, you know, it's not that we can't have friends that are of this world. We are to minister to them, and we're to come alongside of them. But if that's your go-to, then, then you're gonna look like them, and you're gonna look like you're sitting with them and not sitting with Jesus. So let's ask, ladies, to God daily to help us control our tongues. And may we keep a short account with him and with others so those hurts don't build up and overflow and then come out the bad spring. When others offend us, we can walk in forgiveness knowing that we too struggle to manage our tongues. So having compassion and mercy, understanding grace with them. And gossip, we know gossip never is good, and it hurts. Sometimes it's hard. We'll sit in a conversation, you don't even realize you're just going with the flow, and then next thing you know, you're like, why are we even talking about this? And then that's our point, to be so sensitive to the Lord, to the Holy Spirit. And when he says stop or pray, that's my prayer, is that we would take heed to that. If we're in a sensitive or difficult conversation, or we feel like we're being attacked, to be calm, to stay calm, and pray inside. So often we forget to do that, and we just respond. But if we were to stop and pray inside, they don't even know that we're praying, because we're praying inside of the Lord, and ask for wisdom and strength. And like I said before, for me, it's always, help me to keep my mouth shut, Lord. Help me to only speak when you want me to speak up. And sometimes we have to be that bold side, and we need to speak correction or exhortation, but do it with love, right? Let our words always be seasoned with salt and grace. May we be women of encouragement, women of the word, and women who build up our men, women who help each other. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that it is an instruction manual for us, Lord, that we have it to look to and to glean from. And Lord, we miss the mark so often. And I know that we are all thankful for your grace. And we're thankful that we have this as an example. And we have each other, too, to look to and say, it's okay. And I pray that you'd help us to grow in this area, Lord. Grow us, make us women of valor, make us women that are not pointing out faults in one another, but in kindness and gentleness, that we come alongside each other and link arms and pray with each other and pray for each other and pray for our husbands. We love you and we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.